morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Tuesday, July 11th, 2017. We have about 14 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, we have north winds 10 to 15 knots, wind waves from the north 3 feet at 4 seconds apart, and west swells 3 feet at 9 seconds. Patchy fog early in the morning, and I see the 15-knot winds, which are, you know, a bit. If you're on the beach, you'll feel it. But not those heavy gusts up to 25, so maybe the wind is calming down a little bit. And today we're going to talk a little more about tug and barge traffic on the river. It's kind of something that, you know, we don't talk about a whole lot. There's not a whole lot of information about tugs and barges because they operate from private companies. And unless they have pilots on board, you don't see them on the pilot schedules. But they are a big, big factor in commerce on the river. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. Well, let's take a look first, though, at our Columbia River ship schedule for the day. We have 2 inbounders. We have 6 in the Astoria Anchorage, 1 at Rice Island, and 5 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. Our first arrival in the river is the Ruby Inda. She's a familiar name to people who are ship watchers around here or listeners to the Ship Report. She's arriving from offshore, headed for the Rice Island Anchorage. She'll arrive there about 10 a.m., and she'll join that ship that is awaiting orders there, the Pictor, so there should be 2 ships out there. A little bit upriver from Tongue Point on the Washington side. Next inbound is the Atlantic Highway, arriving from Japan, headed for Portland. She's a car carrier. You might tell that by the word highway in her name. She has brand new Toyotas on board. She'll pass Astoria around 10:30 a.m. You might see her in Portland around 4:30 p.m. In the Astoria Anchorage, we have the Julian headed for Vancouver to pick up wheat. She's leaving around 9 a.m., probably in Vancouver by about 3 o'clock this afternoon. The Ultra Esterhazy is leaving for Portland from the Anchorage to pick up potash at the Port of Portland. She'll leave around noon. You might see her in Portland around 6 p.m. That leaves the Sadler's Wells, the Lowland Future, the Ultra Innovation, and the Brasil SW awaiting orders. And the Brasil SW has been out there since last week, so I'm not quite sure what's happening there. But sometimes ships need to be inspected. They fail inspections, and they have to do things to comply with the law here before they can go upriver. Or she may just be waiting for another ship to get out of the way before she can get to her berth. In our outbounders, the articulated tug and barge, the Pride, is leaving Portland with petroleum in her barge. She's leaving around 8 a.m., passing Astoria outbound around 4 p.m. The UACC Masila is leaving Portland around 10:30 this morning, passing Astoria outbound around 4:30 p.m. The Ultra Calbuco is leaving Longview, I think with soda ash on board. So 2 places on the river where soda ash is being exported now, the Port of Portland and the Port of Longview. Leaving around 12:30 p.m. from Longview, that would put her past Astoria outbound maybe around 4 p.m. The Glovis Cardinal is leaving Portland. She's a car carrier with Hondas on board. Leaving around 4 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 10 p.m. And the New Boundary is leaving Longview carrying wheat. Leaving around 10 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 1:30 p.m. Well, we're going to talk a little more about tugs and barges today. I'm one of those people, I love tugboats, and I know this makes people a little crazy when I say this who are mariners, but I think tugboats are really cute. So, okay, I'll just get that out of the way. But they're also very utilitarian vessels that are very important in maritime commerce. So I thought I'd talk a little bit about the kinds of tugboats that you see on the river and what they're called. They actually have different designations. Now, tugs are a particular class of vessel. Their job is very different. Their job is to move other vessels around, either vessels that can't move themselves, like barges that have no engines, or ones that shouldn't move without help, like ships that are in the confines of a harbor and need to be more maneuverable than they naturally can be by themselves. So some of the different kinds of tugs, and certainly people who work in the tugboat industry know more nuances than I do, but here's sort of an overview of tugboats. Now, the tugs that we see towing barges on those long cables, those are generally referred to as tugboats. Overall, I mean, within the giant, larger class of boats that are called tugboats. Another kind of similar utility boat is called the towboat. Now, it's kind of odd that a towboat, it's the use of a towboat would be so counterintuitive to its name. But actually, the towboats are the ones with the flat fronts that have those padded uprights that push the barges. So if you're out on the river and you see a tug with a barge pushing it from behind with a flat front, that is actually called a towboat. Now, don't ask me why. I've tried to look it up. It seems to be an old designation from long ago that has stuck with it. Newer vessels like this are also called push boats because they do push. But the designation for the actual name in the industry for those boats that push tugs is towboats. So we have the general tug that pulls its barges. We have the towboats that get behind them and push them. Then we have the specialized tug and barge rigs, the ATBs and the ITBs. You've heard me talk about the ATBs, the articulated tug and barge rigs. They are specially designed to fit together. A tug with a special bow that fits into a notch in the rear of a specially designed barge. In an ATB, they're attached together with big hydraulic pins that allow them to kind of flex, but they do look kind of like an odd-looking ship. Then there's the ITB, the integrated tug and barge, where the tug and barge lock together solidly, so they form one unit, and they are like a ship. Now, what's the advantage of these two? The advantage of them is that the tug and barge are right next to each other. So if there's a problem with the barge, the crew can get onto the barge very easily, whereas with the tow, you are dealing with something that is way behind you. Now, the other kind of tug that we don't see too much on the lower Columbia, but you see a great deal of upriver from here, is the tractor tug. And that is the kind of tug that is designed to move ships around in port. They're big, kind of deeper draft tugs. They have heavy engines in them, and you'll sometimes see two tugs on a ship. Well, you often will see that if you're in port, one at the bow and one at the stern. If a ship needs to be turned on the Columbia, they'll have one pushing on one side, and they will slowly, in a very controlled way, spin that ship around, because otherwise, in the heavy current of the river, a ship trying to turn itself could lose control. So those tractor tugs are very important. You'll also see them in Seattle and Tacoma with a tug in the front, kind of sort of helping to tow the ship, to just control its speed, and one behind it acting like a brake. So it's very interesting. If you slow down and watch ships in port, tugs have a really, really big role in handling that approach to the dock. And when I was on a ship in 2010 and traveled from port to port, it was one of the most fascinating things to me to watch them dock, because it's, you know, most of us are used to rushing around and doing things as quickly as we can. In this kind of a thing, you have to slow way down, take your time, and these professionals are used to moving in degrees, you know. And so listening to the pilots talk to the people in the engine room and the captain, and they'll say, you know, 2 degrees port, 2 degrees starboard. They really know how to move slowly, because any action, it's really hard to undo with something that heavy. So this whole tug industry, especially the tractor tug industry, people are used to working very, very deliberately and making actions that are very slow. And so it can take sometimes an hour to dock a ship in some places because of that very slow, safe approach, so that when you're done, the ship is simply standing next to the dock instead of bumping into it and, you know, causing billions of dollars in damages as it can from something that massive. Now, another interesting fact about tug captains on the river here is that many of them have gone on to become Columbia River pilots on ships because they have this intimate knowledge of the river, which is very complex. There's over 100 course changes between Astoria and Portland. And so if there's anybody who knows this river, it's the tugboat captains, and they're pretty ideal candidates to move into that pilot position on that river, that section of the river that is so challenging. So just a couple more factoids about the river. 105 miles between Astoria and Portland, and 360 miles inland to Lewiston, Idaho. So that's where tugs and barges really shine, on that shallow draft area between Vancouver and Portland and Lewiston, Idaho, where a lot of tug and barge traffic goes on, bringing a lot of those inland products into us here in the city. You've been listening to The Ship Report, a show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.